what has happened and what's been forgotten is, as Alison's just described, she's been refereeing for four seasons. There are a lot of other female ladies. Mm. Sorry, female ladies. Don't, you can edit that one out for me.
No, we're going to keep that one in.
This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again and welcome to the Referee's World podcast, which offers education and training for referees of all levels. You can now listen to our weekly podcast every Friday from 5pm by subscribing to the website refereesworld.co.uk. Depending on your podcast provider, you can just click a button and download it. We also have a YouTube channel, which will be over the coming months, adding some videos to, so hopefully you can pick up some training tips there. My name's Darren Cullum. I'm a level 5 referee affiliated with Somerset FA, and this is PGMOL Observer and South West Pool Observer Coordinator, Richard Mellon. Richard.
We got there.
We got there in the end, although by the time people hear this, that bit will have been edited out. But only you and I and our guests know what just happened there, which didn't go too well, did it? Let's be honest about it.
Not the first time.
So we'll crack straight on with our guest, and it's time to bring on the females, Rich.
Yes, absolutely. I think the lady referees have got a big part to play in football. And so consequently, we're going to talk to Alison, and she's going to give us her perspective as regards being a female referee. First met Alison just over a year ago now, or about a year ago maybe, on a Zoom meeting. And so consequently, that's how we got to know each other. And then we done the Par 4 Sports Referees Training Camp at St George's Park in August. And Alison attended that. And she put 100% effort into it. And I hope she got the rewards that she was looking for. And her refereeing has gone on to better, higher levels of performance.
So let's welcome to the Referees World podcast, Alison Wade. Alison, hello.
Hi there.
Nice to see you. You heard all the mistakes at the beginning of that, didn't you?
Yeah, just like refereeing, really. You have to learn from your mistakes and just carry on.
Exactly. That's a great attitude to have. So, first of all, welcome to the podcast. Before we start, let's just find out a bit about you, a bit about yourself, what you do and how you got into refereeing.
Yeah, so I've been a referee now for four seasons. Come at it relatively late in life, so I'm just over 40 now. Came at it in my late 30s, which, if I could have my life over again now, I'd definitely have the idea of becoming a referee earlier. People often ask me why I started so late, and the answer is simply I never had the idea any earlier. Mm. It never occurred to me. And this bit of an anecdote attached to how I first got the idea, actually. It was towards the end of a season when I was at a professional match as a spectator. And it was one of those where one of the assistant referees went down injured. And at halftime, they put the kind of classic announcement out over the tannoy. You know, is there a qualified referee in the house to be able to assist us in the second half? I just said to my friend who I was there with, oh, wouldn't that be great if you actually were a qualified referee at a match like this, and you actually got down, you know, had the opportunity to go down and actually officiate your own team. My friend said to me, I can imagine you doing that. I just laughed it off and said, oh, ha, 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 kind of thing. But it planted a seed in my mind, and it kind of remained in my mind for a couple of weeks. And I thought to myself, well, I wonder how you go about becoming a referee. So I did a bit of research online, sort of found out about the basic course. So I live in London, so I had a look on the London FA website and found out about the basic course. And I thought, that sounds quite interesting, actually. You know, I don't have to actually go on and, you know, sort of actually do refereeing. You know, it'd be quite interesting just to do the basic course. So I enrolled in the basic course and I did it over three or four Sundays in July. And I loved every minute of it. You know, it really inspired me. So I started refereeing and I've not stopped since.
And you look and sound as though you absolutely love it.
I do. I wouldn't do it if I didn't love it. Obviously, there are times when I think any referee just wants to throw the towel in and thinks, you know, I don't have to put up with this nonsense. Particularly when it comes to the level of dissent and the level of wittering and bickering and, you know, all that kind of thing really is sometimes quite difficult to take. And you sometimes do come home and just think, why do I do this? But then the flip side is you might go out a few days later and have a really good game and everyone says you're one of the best refs we've had this season. And you go home and you think, yeah, I do love it.
Yeah.
So it's a classic case of having to take the rough with the smooth, really.
I had a game just like that at the weekend, exactly how you've described it. So the games that you do, are they a mixture? Do you do the male games or do you stick to the female games or how do you approach it all?
So I do almost exclusively men's. With a bit of youth football thrown in. So I do hardly any women's. I certainly don't do any women's football on a regular basis. I've done the odd women's FA Cup match that I've been appointed to, but I'm not on any female football leagues or anything like that. So I do mainly men's with a bit of youth football thrown in, because I actually do quite enjoy the whole youth football thing. I like the sort of teaching the kids about it and teaching them bits and pieces that they didn't know before. So I like to sort of keep a finger in the youth football pie as well.
And you are level 5, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. This has been my first season at level 5. So I did a first full season when I first qualified. And then the season after that, I went from 7 to 6. Then the season after that, I went 6 to 5. And then the season that we've just had, I actually wanted to be a sort of season of consolidation for me. So I haven't been on promotion this season. I wanted it to be the season where I sort of gain as many new experiences, etc., as possible. And basically kind of figure out for myself whether I feel ready for the challenge that goes with seeking promotion to level 4. Obviously, it's been a bit of a strange season and I haven't had as much refereeing, like none of us have really, as I would have liked. So I think I will probably take next season as well as another season of sort of planning my next steps and seeing what it is I want to do.
And before I hand you over to Rich, what a year it's been all around. Rich, you can join in on this bit, but for female referees and how the profile of female referees has just gone sky high because of what's been happening this year.
Yeah, the media are good at bringing the attention to these situations, but what has happened and what's been forgotten is, as Alison's just described, she's been refereeing for 4 seasons. There are a lot of other female ladies. Female ladies. You can edit that one out for me.
No, we're going to keep that one in.
There are a lot of other females in the game that have been refereeing for a long time. This is not new. Mm. This is nothing new. But the opportunity is being opened up. And I think it's far too late. But let's get on with it and let's help the ladies in refereeing as much as we possibly can. So, mate. I'll call you mate. Well, that's because we spent 5 days at the training camp together. Okay, let's talk about your refereeing career. We know a little bit because Darren's already had a chat. Let's talk about the progresses, the trials and tribulations that you might have experienced, because being a female referee in male game, male-dominated game where you choose to be, can be a bit daunting, I would imagine. How did you first feel when you took up that challenge?
One of the first things that really, really surprised me, because I was expecting it to be kind of how you've just explained it, you know, pretty daunting, you're the only one, that kind of thing. But one of the things I continue to be surprised about is how few people actually remark on it. It's, you know, it's relatively rare that anybody actually at a match says to me, "Ooh, female referee." Ooh.
Good. I'm glad about that because different. That's how it should be.
Yeah. Honestly, 98% of the games, nobody says anything at all. They say, "You're right, ref." You say, "Yeah, all right, lads." And, you know, nobody says anything at all. In fact, if somebody does remark on it, it's usually in a positive sense, that somebody will say, you know, before or after the game, something along the lines of, "Can I just say how nice it is to see a female referee?" or something like that. Particularly when I do the odd youth game, parents in particular often pick up on it and say, you know, that they think it's great and, you know, aren't you brave? I wouldn't fancy refereeing this lot or something like that. I've only ever, in the 4 years I've been refereeing, I've only ever once had an incident where a player was, you know, inappropriate, discriminatory, whatever you want to call it, towards me because of it. There've been incidents when I've suspected that the fact that I'm a woman might have something to do with the remark that's being made, but I've really only ever experienced something once that was, you know, way out of line. Sometimes it's, you know, it kind of creates some amusing moments. So a couple of weeks ago, I was doing a game, went over to introduce myself to the team manager. And he said to me, it wasn't a team I'd ever had before. And he said to me, "Just to let you know, ref, some of my boys have got sort of quite dirty mouths. So, well, there might be some swearing. I hope that's okay." So I just laughed and I said, "This is Sunday League. You know, I hear this all the time. You know, it's fine. As long as it's not directed at me," you know, we had a bit of a laugh. And then he said to me, he said, "Well, just so that you know, I've had a word with them. and I've told them to treat you just like a normal ref.
So they didn't swear, or they did swear. Who knows?
Yeah, you know, a normal ref. So I just tried to laugh it off by saying, I am a normal ref. I'm just like all the others. And he sort of, was a bit awkward then and said, well, you sort of know what I mean. So occasionally you get something like that, but it almost every time it's born out of the person actually wanting to do the right thing.
Yeah, he's well-meaning. Absolutely. He's not looking for it to create any discrimination at all. And that's how it should exactly be, because you shouldn't be judged as a referee because you're female or male. It's because you're a referee, and we'll have a look at your performance, and that's how we go from there. And I just say, if that's what's happening, that's what should continue. If there's any of that 2% that you mentioned, because you did say there was 98% of the time was good. I thought, 98%? Why 98? Who chose 98? But whoever is in that 2% that doubt female referees, put them onto us, because we'll sort them out. Okay.
It just tends to be that there are a few who have perhaps just never had a female referee before. And then come the end of the game, you actually get the sense that they don't actually care who the referee is, whether black, white, male, female. You know, they're not bothered. So long as the referee is competent, all they want is a decent ref. They don't really care who you are.
Totally agree. Exactly the right attitude. Okay, let's get on to the field of play and your experiences. Where do you see your, since you started just over 3.5 years ago, your skill sets have developed, obviously, into refereeing. Did you bring any skill sets from your 9-to-5 situation as opposed to the working week into refereeing? And then did you find skill sets within refereeing and take those into the workplace?
Oh, that's a good question. So in terms of things that I've brought into refereeing, I would think the main kind of things that I've brought to it are the things that are kind of go at perhaps not necessarily on the field of play, but things like good admin, organisation, communication with clubs, that kind of thing. What I think I also have brought is a certain level of kind of professionalism. You know, it's really important to me to be on time, to be dressed appropriately, to introduce myself, you know, that kind of thing that I know some referees have to work at because perhaps they're not as used to it from, you know, from their professional environment as I am. So that side of things is not anything I've, you know, had to work especially hard at. Where things I think are very different for me is in how you deal with difficult situations. So I am fairly used to being able to kind of reason with people and have a discussion with them and, you know, perhaps persuade somebody why my suggestion is better than theirs on a simple level. Whereas I very quickly learned when refereeing that that is not appropriate on the football field. While it can be appropriate at times to explain something briefly to a player, why you've given a certain decision or not given a certain decision, what is not appropriate is to launch into some great big dialogue with them about the pros and cons of it, because usually there's no time and it's not really what they're looking for anyway. They usually just want to sound off about something. They want to, you know, have a bit of a go. They don't really want to know the answer or engage in some philosophical debate like we referees might do as to how and why that's a dogzo and whether the criteria are met. So I've definitely had to learn quite a lot from that point of view about how to maintain match control in a way that suits the players, but also suits me in terms of, you know, retaining that control.
That's an interesting how it suits the players and how it suits me. You've got to find a balance there, haven't you? That's never going to be easy and only comes with experience. So you've got a player that's given you a little bit of jip. Do you use a stepped approach? Are you straight in with a card? How do you take control of that situation? So someone that's dissented a decision and you know you're 100% right.
So if it's the first time he said anything all game, I will usually let it slide. If he's closest to me, I will often do what I call giving him the eyes. So I won't say anything, but I will look at him and I will let him know I've heard him. And if it happens a second time, then I will have a word. And, you know, so very much using the stepped approach, and I will remind the player of the existence of the sin bin, which I find quite effective, because to threaten a player with having to go off for 10 minutes, I find to be really quite effective, and usually that is the end of it. If it's not the end of it and they carry on, then I've warned them about the sin bin, and so off to the sin bin they will go.
So it's what I got out of you there was exactly what I was expecting you to say. Stepped approach up towards using the sin bin if it has to be that way. And like I say, going back to other things that we've learnt together over those 5 days at the referees training camp we did last year, I want to just touch on that in quite an in-depth way. What were the major things that came out of that training camp for you?
So one thing that I still think of, because I'd never seen it or heard of it in that way before, was advantage. When to play advantage and when not to play advantage. I had never heard before something which I heard from you guys at the training camp, which was the idea that you should only play advantage when it's an advantage to you as the referee. I had always thought of it in terms of where you are on the pitch and all these sort of technical things. Does it suit the players? Is that what the players would want rather than a free kick because that's more suited to their level of skill and ability? All those kind of things. I'd never actually taken on board before that it's also about, does it suit my desires, my way of running the match?
It's your match control, isn't it? It does impact on your match control. Because if it doesn't...
I've never thought of it that way before.
If it doesn't work, who's the first person they blame?
The ref.
The referee. So consequently, make sure that advantage that you're trying to use to help the game, that's what you're trying to do, is an advantage for you and the game, not just the player, because the players are expecting you to play advantage at every opportunity. It doesn't always work and it can blow up in your face. So, yeah,
absolutely.
So we talked on advantage. Anything else? I know you worked hard on your fitness. That's where I'm trying to get to.
Yeah, and I continue to work really hard on my fitness. Obviously, I'm older than a lot of referees, and I'm certainly older than all the players.
I wasn't going there, Alison.
But I'm also shorter, you know, at only 5'4", you know, I regularly have players who are a foot taller than me. And, you know, they may also be half my age. So, you know, I've got to be pretty fit to be able to keep up with them and to, you know, be able to referee them. And I do feel that I've made, you know, pretty big strides, if you'll pardon the pun, in terms of fitness over the last year. You know, I've made sure that I've done a lot during the lockdowns. I've not just, you know, been able to say, oh, well, Gymshark can't do anything. You know, I've done a lot of running. I've done a lot of core work, you know, myself in the confines of my own front room and things like that. But I think one of the big things that I got out of the training camp last summer, and it's quite difficult to pinpoint exactly how, but it gave me a lot more confidence, because although I'm probably the kind of person who appears to be quite confident because I'm quite chatty and, you know, that kind of thing, I'm not always very confident in my own abilities. And I will worry about things that I might have got wrong in a match. And I will then wonder, am I really cut out for this? Should I really be doing this at all? Perhaps that player was right when he said I was rubbish. But the training camp somehow just gave me a new sense of self-confidence. And I can actually feel now that I take the confidence into the matches as well. And I actually start off the match with the feeling I am in charge of this. I'm in control of this. And what happens is down to me, rather than, you know, a couple of seasons ago, I would kind of feel a bit, oh, right, well, we'll see how this one goes, see what kind of blokes these are. Oh, I hope it goes okay. Whereas now I feel I have the confidence to actually go out and say, this is down to me and I can do it.
You've become a responsible referee by taking control right from the very early start, rather than being a reactive referee towards what might happen. So your game skills, your match skills are actually realigning as opposed to how you took it first of all.
So, Alison, just tell us about your technique as a referee. Are you one of these that is quite loud? You know, you like to chat a lot to the players and use that as part of your game management? Or do you sort of keep yourself fairly reserved, blow the whistle when you need to, and then get on with it?
I mean, probably somewhere between the two extremes. I'm not the sort of referee who kind of commentates the game, because there are some who kind of commentate sort of almost everything that goes on. I'm not like that, but I'm not terribly quiet either. I do, you know, shout out to players, particularly at set piece situations. If there's a bit of, you know, touchy feely going on in the box or whatever at a corner, you know, I will be shouting out, get your arms down and things like that, you know, so trying to sort of proactively, you know, affect behaviour. I do, you know, where it's appropriate and where the players are interested in it, you know, I am quite up for having a bit of a laugh during the game. You know, if somebody says something funny and it, you know, results in a bit of a remark, then I'm quite happy to join in and, you know, have a bit of a laugh, because at the end of the day, we're actually all supposed to be there to have fun, particularly when it's grassroots rather than supply league or something. You know, people are actually paying to play. That's how much they enjoy it. And, you know, I actually really like it when the players just want to have fun and want to have a laugh with me as well. You know, I'm quite happy to join in that, but without it obviously, you know, being too much in favor of one team or anything like that. You know, you still have to maintain a level of professionalism, but, you know, I do chat to them where it's appropriate and where they've kind of indicated that they don't mind chatting to me. I don't, you know, force it upon them. I am quite, yeah, I'm probably quite communicative in terms of if somebody asks me something, they'll usually get some kind of response. When it's, you know, if the ball is still in play, then I might tell them just to wait a second. But, you know, I'm the sort of referee that's happy to explain decisions or, you know, things like that. You know, I'm quite keen on things like if I happen to be running past the benches a minute before half time, you know, I'll just call out to them 1 minute to go, guys, or something like that, you know, just so that they know where we are and they're not always having to chase me. You know, I hope and I think that that, you know, makes me a sort of quite accessible ref and somebody who's also thinking about the needs of the managers, of the players, of the substitutes, etc.
Okay, Alison, very, very quickly, because we're slowly running out of Zoom time here. First of all, quick tip, what tip would you give to any aspiring young female referee that's just signed up for the course and wants to progress?
Get as much experience as you can in a variety of different leagues. Don't just sort of join one league and do a game with them every week and that be your own refereeing world. Join a variety of different leagues, maybe try out female, women's football and men's football and youth football. Try out different things because you will find they are quite different. And I'd also advise people to take part in whatever sort of training events and discussion events that are organised by your local referees association and of course your county FA, because that's the opportunity to really speak to other referees, because it can be a really, really lonely place when you just go to a game in a field on your own. If something happens, you go home on your own, you feel rubbish about it, and you know it's easy to throw the towel in or to want to throw the towel in. But if you know lots of other referees, yeah, you start to see people around, but when you've actually discussed with them match incidents, things like that, you'll soon find that you actually have friends in refereeing as well. And, you know, it is very much like the kind of goalkeepers union in a way, that this kind of the referees union as well. And that is what is part of this kind of special community that we have that I really love, because it makes me feel just so part of a community. And that's where, you know, being female, where the majority are perhaps male, actually just doesn't matter, because it's the fact that we're referees that matters.
Excellent work. Brilliant piece of advice. Alison, we're going to have to stop it there because Zoom time is just going to cut you off and you're going to disappear and we're not going to have time to say thank you and goodbye. So we're going to do that now. Rich, thank you very much, Alison. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Not a problem. You're welcome on the podcast anytime.
Keep in touch.
Brilliant work. And our guest today is Alison Wade.
The download is complete.
This is Referees World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.